Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in studio, we have the director and founder of Pro-Life Colorado, Joe Scott. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
Interesting news today. A guy named P.Z. Myers, an evolutionist.
Wasn't he an expelled?
Ben Stein's movie.
Yeah.
He was. He was one of the evolutionists with Richard Dawkins in Ben Stein's movie Expelled. And P.Z., our producer, Will Duffy, sent a debate offer to P.Z. Myers to debate evolution.
Oh.
We just debated James Hannum over in England. Mm-hmm. I've had an interesting interaction with Jack Horner, the paleontologist in Montana, MSU, who found the soft tissue T-Rex.
Right.
And so Will thought, hey, P.Z., do you want to have a debate? And we'll pay you. We'll pay you to debate, a written debate.
Wow.
Now, 10-round moderated written debate on evolution. And P.Z. turned us down. That's not surprising. It's pretty hard to get evolutionists to debate. But he wrote a blog titled, Bob Enyart Wants Me to Respect His Intelligence. That's the title of the blog. It's got about 100 posts to it so far. And so we have responded.
Yeah, I was reading some of them. It's pretty interesting.
It is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we should talk for a moment about the response, and then we'll talk about how people in Colorado can help us at the abortion clinic where they, at Planned Parenthood, where they rip the arms and legs off of tiny little boys and girls.
Yes.
And I wonder, an evolutionist who doesn't care about God, obviously doesn't believe that God made us
right
in his image and likeness. So it's really up to the evolutionist what he thinks is okay to do to a living human being. It's up to him.
Right. He's God.
He thinks. Yeah. He thinks, well, whatever I think is appropriate, whatever the majority thinks is appropriate, that's what I think is appropriate. So If the majority of Americans thinks it's okay, if they think the majority thinks it's okay to own black slaves, well, then
hey, own them.
It's the majority. If the government says you can kill Jews, and if the majority hate Jews, well, then why not?
Why not? They're just an evolving entity like anything else on the planet.
Yeah, if you're different. A secular Sunni Muslim in a Shiite country and they want to kill you, well, if the majority says it, there's no God who's made us in his image and likeness, so there's no accountability, they think. Mm-hmm. So we could do what we want. So the abortionist goes in with a suction aspiration abortion, a suction tube, and grabs on to a baby's arm and rips the baby's arm off his body. Now, does that happen, or did I just make that up?
Bob, I wish it didn't happen, but it does. It happens millions of times every year in the United States. It's horrible.
In the U.S. and around the world, about 45 million abortions a year. And so, yeah, these kids, Planned Parenthood dissects, dismembers these children, and those who are godless, who reject God, who will mock or at least ignore Jesus Christ, they typically, the majority, think, hey, it's fine. To kill that child growing in the mother's womb is perfectly fine. No problem.
Just some cells.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about Planned Parenthood and the Denver courts trying to keep you away from the abortion clinic. But we were interrupted by P.Z. Myers' article and his blog. And I'd like to share with the audience our response, because the response is called the P.Z. Myers Trochlea Challenge. And most people don't know what a trochlea is, but if you know what a sling is, now David brought down Goliath with a sling, right?
Right.
Is that true or no?
I think no, with the rock in the sling.
Okay, with the rock. In, yeah. He didn't hit Goliath with the sling. He hit him with the stone that he flung from the sling. And it turns out the eyeball, every one of us have a sling that can be used by God to bring down the giant of Darwinism and evolution and P.Z. Myers, for that matter. And our sling in our eye is called the trochlea.
It sounds like something that's evolving from a billion years ago, a trochlea.
A trochlea.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a trilobite and
yeah.
a trochlea. Okay, so first, if people want to see our challenge, the P.Z. Myers Trochlea Challenge, they could go to kgov.com, and on the homepage, we're putting the sketch of the eyeball with the trochlea and the sling. And so if you Google P.Z. Myers, then the first item is his blog. When you go to his blog, he has an article that he published June 22nd today, and it's titled, Bob Enyart Wants Me to Respect His Intelligence. And he's saying he debated Jerry Bergman, and he says, and that was a total waste of time. And Jerry Bergman was in the studio a week ago, Joe, in the same seat you're in.
Wow.
And it turns out that P.Z. Myers listened to that program with Jerry Bergman.
He did?
Yeah, he listened to it.
Wow.
So now he quotes from another evolutionist in England, a degreed, studied evolutionist who I got to debate just a few weeks ago on Darwinism, because we reject, I don't know, I haven't asked you, are you an evolutionist?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You're not,
not an evolutionist.
You're a Christian pro-life activist.
Creationist.
Creationist.
Yeah.
You think the earth is billions of years old?
No.
No, you don't. How many children are alive today in part because God has blessed your efforts and a woman going into an abortion clinic has decided, often in tears, and talking to you, taking your literature, sometimes going with you afterward for breakfast, going to a crisis pregnancy center, going for an ultrasound, going to the doctor. How many babies are alive today? They were not dismembered by Planned Parenthood just through your being at the abortion clinic 5 days a week.
Many.
Well, I calculated the number just in the last decade, and it was about 1,000 children.
Yeah.
And how many kids, how many years have you been going to the abortion clinic?
30 years. Since
1979. And so thousands of children were not dismembered. And I bet you, even though the mom has decided, they say they're pro-choice, the mom has decided to give her baby life, I bet you there are a lot of pro-choice people who don't like the fact that you've had that accomplishment in your life.
Well, they've proven that over and over again.
Over and over.
They don't like it at all.
I thought they're the beautiful people who support free speech, tolerance, diversity. They respect the views and to each his own, but not to you, Joe, because you're a Christian.
Not to any sidewalk counselor, not to anybody that's out there.
Well, James Hannum, who wrote a book on the medieval period, and he debunked a lot of the atheist cliches, the misnomers, like the Christian Middle Ages, the medieval period, they believed that the earth was flat.
Right.
So he completely debunked that and many other misnomers that are sort of atheist folklore, atheist myth, like urban legends. Well, with Descartes and through modern times, there are many atheist legends. And so he debunked those, and we have on our website, KGov, the extraordinary reviews his books got. Extraordinary. By major publications in England, just praising him for his research. Great book. So I interviewed him, find out he's an evolutionist, and he and I scheduled, and we did an hour and a half debate.
I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah.
I loved it. It was cordial.
It was fabulous. I thought you two did very well together.
Now apparently P.Z. Myers didn't enjoy it. I don't know if he listened to the whole thing.
Well, he's one of the beautiful people.
But there is a quote from, okay, now James Hannum wrote about our debate on his blog over in England. And P.Z. Myers today lifted this quote.
This was a fabulous quote.
Well, it's real nice of James Hannum because we disagree. Although he is a theistic evolutionist, he believes that God created and then we've evolved. He's
right.
A Darwinist.
Uh-huh. I understand.
Yeah, and that's sad, but we debated. And so here's what he wrote, and this is on P.Z. Myers' blog today.
You know, what he wrote is the impression that I got from listening to the show.
So James Hannum starts out. He's quoting Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins once said that if you meet somebody who claims to not believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane. Then he puts, or wicked, but I'd rather not consider that. So then, Joe, then James Hannum is responding to that based on his debate.
Right.
And it's a bit self-serving for me to read it. It's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'll read it.
Yeah.
It rapidly became clear that Bob was none of these things. For a start, I know a fair bit about evolution and genetics, but when it came to familiarity with the arguments, he was way ahead of me. On epigenetics, RNA, DNA, chemistry, and animal physiology, I was hopelessly outclassed. Wow. Can you imagine? He's honest enough to say that. Bob is not ignorant, and it's pretty clear he is neither stupid nor insane. He came across, in fact, as extremely intelligent. So perhaps he is wicked. Well, despite a brush with the law a few years ago, I am sure he's nothing of the sort. Comments such as those made by Dawkins only further undermine the presumptions of good faith on the part of creationists and Darwinists. Wow.
Yeah, it was nice of him. You know, I've been reading the evolutionist literature and the creationist literature since 1973.
Mm-hmm.
A third of a century. So you learn something about both sides of a big argument. The typical evolutionist does not read both sides. They tend to be closed-minded, and they only read one side.
They read what they want to hear.
So this guy's an evolutionist, and he thought, wow, I thought that creationist would be ignorant of science, and I found out from this Bible-thumping radio talk show host
that he's not.
That
in
they're not all ignorant of science.
He says that. He says, Bob is not ignorant. And it's pretty clear he's neither stupid nor insane. He came across, in fact, as extremely intelligent. So perhaps he is wicked. Well, despite a brush with the law a few years ago, I'm sure he's nothing of the sort. Comments such as those made by Dawkins only further undermine the presumption of good faith on the part of creationists and Darwinists.
Yeah, so that's maybe the kindest thing that anyone I've ever debated has said about our debate. And
usually they never say another word and they don't admit they've debated you.
Yeah, right. Typically,
publicly.
They don't promote the debate.
Right.
They don't do it. So James Hannum, he wrote an article about it. He posted it. And the interesting thing is that excerpt was pulled out and posted by P.Z. Myers himself on one of the world's most popular science blogs. So it's just funny, you know, the way things happen.
It is funny that he would post that.
Yeah. And so P.Z. Myers, he does, toward the end of his article, he throws up dirt about me. He says that I really love beating children, things like that. And that's not surprising because we share with people that children need to be disciplined, and that includes spanking.
Yes.
You spare the rod and you hate the child. And kids are crying out for boundaries. And so spanking, you know, my mother, of all people, read P.Z. Meyer's blog.
She did?
Yeah. And she said, that P.Z. Meyer, she said, I'll compare my grandchildren to his grandchildren any day.
Yay. Yeah. So I'd like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, our kids, the love and respect and joy we have with our kids and our grandkids and our whole circle of family and friends, mm-hmm. it's just extraordinary. I mean, my kids from their late 20s to their, you know, single digits, they're just so loving and fun to be with. And we have 7 boys.
I know. And I'm going to have them all at my house pretty soon. Oh, all 7.
Yeah, you
all
are.
7 of them.
Oh, for,
And never, never have we had a problem.
Yeah, it's just a blessing. So we have the Trochlea Challenge, the P.Z. Myers Trochlea Challenge. Now, I'm going to go to our website, kgov.com, and see if it's on the, if it's on, look at that. Wow.
There it is.
Wow, it's really on the website. Okay. So it's on the website. There it is. It's right front and center. And mm-hmm. it's a sketch. We had this commission. This is a drawing, a diagram of the human eye. But the point really isn't the eye. The point is the sling.
Right.
Because if God could use a sling to bring down Goliath, then every one of us have a sling. We all have a sling. And it happens to be next to our eyeball. We have 2 slings. David only had 1 sling.
David was pretty good.
He was
with
pretty
one
good.
Sling.
With one sling and trusting God. So here's the Goliath sling that should bring down Darwinism is Darwin, of course, talked about the complexity of the eye. And he said it's absurd in the highest degree to think that the eye, with all its contrivances and sophistication, could form by natural selection. He said it's absurd to think that.
And it is.
He was right.
Yeah.
But forget about all the sophistication of the eye for a moment and think about something as simple as a sling.
Okay.
A little hook that grows out of your skull, a little hook of cartilage, and one of the muscles that help to turn, rotate your eye so you could look around, one of those muscles narrows to a cord, because otherwise it's thick like a belt.
Mm-hmm.
It narrows to a cord. You could see it in the picture. Just
right.
Go to KGOV, KGOV.com. It narrows to a cord and it slides through that sling. And that's because the muscle is pulled from the back of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want that to go backward. It's got to pull off to the left. It wouldn't help you when you want to look to the left if your eye was pulled backward.
Right.
So there's a trochlea, and that muscle is rerouted like a sling through the trochlea.
Wow.
And so our question to evolutionists, they say natural selection, things evolve by slight modifications. Tiny changes that add up over millions of years to the sophistication that is biological life today. So we say, okay, now one of Darwin's big supporters said, for example, if we ever found a magnet in an animal,
mm-hmm.
we would know that that could not have evolved because a magnet would not confer any benefit until it functioned.
Okay.
And now we know that magnetism plays a part. So does electricity. Like the motors that create the energy our bodies use, they run on electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And there are wheels. He also said if there, it turns out there's a wheel, we would know that couldn't have evolved because a wheel wouldn't be helpful unless it functioned. And if a wheel is half a wheel and it doesn't turn, it gets stuck. I get it.
Yeah.
So a sling, Joe, are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking at it.
On your computer?
Uh-huh.
Or I'm looking at it on my computer. And that sling, will that help the eye if it's not functioning?
No.
That setup right there, that construct.
No, it has to function in order to help the
in
eye.
In order to help the eye. So yeah. You need a hook to grow out of the inside of your skull.
Right.
Very close to the eyeball. And you need one of the muscles that are attached to the eyeball, growing off the eyeball. You need the muscle. I think it's called the superior oblique.
Okay.
I think that's the name of that muscle. You need that muscle to string itself through the trochlea.
The sling.
Through the loop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if that's not happening, it's not going to help the eye any to have a loop there.
No, the loop would be totally useless.
Be useless. And the eye wouldn't be able to turn the way you want it to turn. And so that would harm your ability to survive,
mm-hmm.
not help selection. So anyway,
Bob, yeah. if that apparatus had to evolve, there would be no muscle attached to the eye. You wouldn't be able to move your eye.
Well, right. Initially you couldn't see.
Right.
And the funny thing about sight, you know, sight, when we see things, our brain in our mind is where we're comprehending the image that we're seeing. So the optic center of your brain, the billions of neurons that are involved in the optic center,
mm-hmm.
and trillions of synapses, connections between the neurons, that's inside the gray matter of your brain. And people who don't think about it much, they probably don't realize that what is inside your brain where you're actually seeing color and shapes and you're recognizing familiar faces. There's not a projector screen inside your brain
right.
with a little projector spinning and displaying the image. It's electrical chemical signals. And so the photons that come into your eye, those photons, they're encoded because they don't hit as photons in your brain. They're encoded. It's sent to your vision center where it is decoded.
Red.
Where it's red.
Yeah.
Where it's comprehended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, encoding and decoding, that's a logic function. It's logical. Like if you get a JPEG image on your computer, if you have an avatar, Joe, do you have an avatar?
No.
You don't have an avatar?
No.
So when some people post, they have a picture of themselves there. Well, if somebody gave you that picture, but they showed you all the bits, the ones and zeros that uh-huh. made up your picture, it won't look anything like you.
Right.
It's just going to look like ones and zeros. Or if you're in the hardware, it's going to look like 4 volts and a half a volt. So a whole bunch of 4 volts and half a volt looks like Pops. Al Sharon, our office manager, when he was 4 years old.
Well,
you
can
see that at KGov too.
That's a good description of Pops.
In Philly, yeah, a bunch of ones and zeros. So to take that, that is symbolic information. It's encoded and then it has to be decoded. Well, the laws of physics have no symbolic logic function. They don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So encoding and decoding is an information process, and information is not physical. That's why the laws of physics do not control information. So the information on P.Z. Meyer's blog, it's not defined by the photons that are bouncing off your computer screen when you read it. The information is ideas that are represented.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing with your vision system. So since the laws of physics do not have a symbolic logic function, the laws of physics, no matter how long they had to operate, could not interpret data that's been encoded.
Okay.
Couldn't do it.
Okay, I get it.
So now I'd like to read what we write on this P.Z. Myers-Trochlea challenge, because this here is not the complexity of the vision system, which the eye is a part of. This just has to do with the sling.
Right.
And the sling is about as simple a thing as you can get.
Yeah, pretty simple.
Right? Imagine.
Uh-huh. Even in biblical times, like you said, with David, it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple concept. You don't need an electrical engineering degree.
Right.
Probably your husband has hung a hook up in a tree and strung a rope through it and pulled.
More than once.
pulled something up in the air. All right. So P.Z. Myers-Trochlea challenge. An eye muscle. And you got to go to kgov.com to see this for yourself. P.Z. Myers-Trochlea challenge. An eye muscle narrows to a cord and then threads itself through a sling called the trochlea. This simple design enables the muscle to pull in the direction needed and helps it function in the space available. All right, so there's a minimal amount of space, and the eye, to be rotated correctly, has to be pulled in that direction, and so there's a sling to make that happen. Darwin's natural selection could not choose this configuration until it functioned minimally. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
I mean, it might not work great, but it's got to work to be selected.
Right.
Purely random mutations would have had to modify different types of tissue like bone, nerve, muscle, and cartilage. So 4 different kinds of tissues all have to be modified, all of that without conferring any benefit to the organism until the sling gave an actual advantage to survival.
And it wouldn't have happened according to the laws of evolution.
Yeah, right. It couldn't have been selected. All those mutations and all those kinds of tissues, they couldn't have been selected for until it provided advantage, and it could not provide advantage until it functioned.
Right.
At least minimally.
Right.
So it's an impossible task. So this diagram of the eye goes on to say this. Also, the mutations do not even occur in these structures themselves. Joe, if somebody hasn't studied genetics, they might think, well, the mutation in your eye muscle occurs in the eye muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So the muscle sort of sees a hoop over there off the skull, and it just wants to sort of grow toward the hoop.
Yeah.
But that's not where mutations occur. They occur in the DNA molecule inside every cell in the body. And so at the moment of reproduction, then copying mistakes of the 3 billion rungs of the DNA ladder, thousands of those rungs have to be modified in all different kinds of tissue types in order to produce this sling.
Mm-hmm. Which is, what are the odds?
What are the odds? It's it's impossible.
Yeah.
But so we say, describe roughly how this might happen, PZ. Copyright 2010, kgov.com. So we say, PZ Myers, describe roughly, we're not saying exactly, just lay out a diagram, a flow chart of how this might happen.
What did he say?
Well, he turned us down today for the offer to debate, even though we offered him money, and he didn't mention that in his article. He turned us down, and so we said, okay, we have a single this is what we posted on his blog today. Mm-hmm. PZ, since you won't debate him, Bob Enyart has now posted what he's calling his one and only question to you. The PZ Myers Trochlea Challenge. It is a sketch of the human eye with the question. And there's the question. Roughly, how might this happen, PZ, that the muscle will evolve to go through a sling, a trochlea, and not the sophistication of the eye, the simplest aspect of the eye?
Well, let's hope he takes you up on your challenge.
Well, he might, right?
But yeah.
If he thinks he has an answer. Because I say it's my only one, Joe. It's my only question to him.
I don't
we'll
think
see.
He can.
God bless you. Maranatha.